Hey, good morning, good afternoon. I always say good morning. This is Charlotte Pierce. I'm the producer of Ready Row USA. And I'd like to welcome all our new subscribers that you've been filtering in at a pretty nice clip. Thank you for signing up. We're the Ready Row USA podcast, where we live stream the best of rowing news, interviews with innovators and legends of the sport. And we bring you the latest gadgets and gear from clubs, companies, and rowers across the country and beyond, even internationally from time to time. And we want to especially thank our live viewers. We try to get to as many of your questions and comments as possible. If we don't do it during the broadcast, we will do it later. And for those of you who are watching, listening on your audio podcast app, we appreciate your presence as well. And please stay in touch with us. Today, we are spotlighting some clubs that are having challenges and successes in overcoming them, we hope. We have also our new section, Rowing News, and we have our commenting, our Mark Wilson from All American Rowing Camp, Shannon Borum from the Hampton High School crew coach, and Sondra Weston from the Tampa Rowing Club. We are part of the International Rowing Chat Network, and you can subscribe, as I said before, and please interact with us. Send us news topic ideas and join our community by visiting the website. All the links that you need are going to be in the show notes, so if we mention something that you forgot to write down or went past you, just visit rowing.chat and look up the episode. It will be right there, and you can find the live links in the show notes. As I said, Shannon is going to take it from here. She's our intrepid assistant producer. Hi, Shannon. Thanks for coming, and welcome, everybody.
Welcome. Yeah. Hello, Charlotte. Today with us, we have Mark Wilson, as usual. Thank you so much. Brenda Ballinger may be on with us. I'm not sure if she's in yet. And a special guest today, Sondra Weston from Tampa Rowing Club. So thank you guys for being here today.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks for having me.
All right. So before we get started, we just want to remind everyone how to connect with us at Ready Row USA. So first, remember to listen during the podcast for our episode hashtag, and then slather it all over social media. We are on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We give away random stuff, so use that hashtag and enter yourself for winning something. I'm not sure what our giveaway is today. Charlotte will update that, but hashtag us and talk about us on social media. And so we never want to forget our lovely sponsors who help make our giveaways happen. You can visit our sponsors at rowing.chat/sponsors. We do want to spotlight two huge sponsors for us right now. The first one is Pregel Rowing Camps. And I'm not sure if you're a master's rower or not, but this is made for masters. You got lots of stuff. You get great coaches, work in a small group. You get video analysis, training, and competing in pretty good boats. It's a quiet place. And it's actually along Lake Brno, which is not far from Prague or Vienna if you are an international traveler and want to take advantage of that. You can check out our sponsors on our website. So head on over there and get more information from Pregel. We thank them for their sponsorship. Our other very wonderful sponsor is Rowing Tales. So if you've ever wanted to read a fun short story about rowing, Rebecca Caro has you covered yet again. She has just put out the 2019 version of her Rowing Tales anthology. Each year she does like collections of books. They have stories from famous folks and regular folks like us. Except for Mark. I think Mark is famous. He counts in the famous category.
No famous.
So there's three so far, 2017, 2018, 2019. So head on over to our website and get some of those wonderful stories. So today we are going to continue our look at stuff in the news. So we want to spotlight some pretty big things happening in rowing each week. And the first thing we're going to talk about, we have got yet another huge open water row, I guess. This seems to be a trend. Mark, are you seeing this across the news lately?
It seems like everybody wants to go row the ocean. And
right, they want to do something big.
Yeah, with all of the attention to global warming and conditions of our oceans, I think a lot of people are utilizing the row, right, the human powered aspect of our sport, and taking it to a very high level. So yes, there's some more people heading across the ocean.
And so the one that we are looking at this week actually has a royal connection. Arthur Chatto is actually the Queen of England. Sorry, let me clarify that. We still got a lot of queens around the world. That's her great nephew. So that's kind of cool. We got a little royal element to rowing that does not relate to Henley.
Very good.
Right. So Mark, you want to talk about some new board members?
There are some new things going on at the NRF, which is the National Rowing Foundation. The National Rowing Foundation is tasked with raising money and helping support the U.S. national team at all levels. And so they've got some new folks on the board, and I'm sure that's going to be kind of interesting how that all interacts with the U.S. rowing. They are obviously are tasked with supporting U.S. rowing, and with Patrick leaving U.S. rowing, there's going to be some change there, and as well as here on the NRF. So you've got some very well-known folks there, and former national team members and business folks and coaches. So it'll be interesting to see how all of that plays out in the coming months.
For sure. And I think that news broke late last week. And then earlier this week, the National Rowing Foundation actually started their Row to Tokyo $1 million challenge. So that's pretty exciting to support our folks going to Tokyo. Look forward to that.
That's right.
The next piece I found online, and I thought this was just charming. If you've ever read Boys in the Boat, you know the Pocock name. So they're still making boats. I think they're pretty prevalent on the West Coast, Mark. Do you see them much down?
They're everywhere. Pocock, just like all of the North American boat builders, are really, all over the country. Certainly different programs enjoy specific boats. You kind of go into boathouses around the country and you'll see a Vespoli boathouse or a Hudson boathouse. And there are certainly many, many Pocock boathouses as well. So before you get into the racing award thing, I do want to just let everybody know that we're going to be doing a boat builders series, and we're really excited about doing that. We're going to be interviewing various members of the manufacturing team or the leadership team or the ownership team of the different boat builders. And we're going to be bringing that to you, all of our listeners and watchers, very soon. But Pocock has been invited, as well as Vespoli, Fluid Design, Resolute, and Hudson. So all of the North American boat builders are, we're going to start with first, and then we'll move on into the international boat builders as well. So we're looking forward to having that series, and it'll be a little bit more of an interview episode or process with that. So thanks for letting me push that out to everybody, and look forward to that series as we move forward.
For sure. Like, I'm very excited about that. I feel like after about 6 months of rowing, most rowers want to know, well, how does this boat work? And there's not a lot available online. So I'm very excited to hear what you guys come up with. But this story, it was just charming. I thought the Seattle Business Magazine awarded one of its family business awards to Pocock. And I just thought that was lovely to recognize that they've been around for 108 years, and the second family is now running it. The Pococks are no longer part of it, which I learned, but it's still very close to their family. So I just thought that was a charming story to talk about.
Excellent.
And this is probably one of Charlotte's, something Charlotte's very excited about. We're all super, super pumped to see Arshay Cooper's movie coming out, The Most Beautiful Thing. So it does open in select cities on March 27th. Hopefully you live near one. I do not, but I'm still working on getting it here. Are you going to be able to see it, Mark?
I don't know if Orlando's in the mix either. I don't think so. I think it's kind of pretty select location. So I'm sure there'll be a chance to see it as the time moves on, though.
I hope so. I feel like we kind of miss out on the big fun stuff sometimes down here. But we're going to keep working on it. And so, Mark, you've got a whole bunch of other things to talk about, I think, in the news.
We've got a few other things. I'm kind of learning some of these things that are moving on. The Cooper Cup Gold Challenge race formats have been just announced. So they're going to be working on those things up there on the Cooper River in Camden, New Jersey. Some bunch of international crews and scullers will be in on hand for that. CRI, Community Rowing, is starting their application process for their the Institute of Rowing Leadership. I think they take 8 to 12 people every year, and it's basically a curriculum, full annual curriculum of opportunity to learn about programs and boat building and boat repair, boat rigging, really what it takes to become a well-rounded coach, and probably very, very integrative and complete process there. So they're taking applications. So if you have interest in going there and taking one of those positions, look up CRI's application for the IRL.
And that, I looked at that actually last week, and I just think it looks like such an amazing program. I wish that I were around the area to be there. If you're around there, I think it's fabulous.
And really what people do is they'll move to Boston for the time. You know, so it's not just for people that live in Boston or New England folks. It's certainly an opportunity for people from all over the country who want to go and learn at that program and learn some great things. So it's a good
And it's a pretty intensive program, yeah.
Exactly. I think it's, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, like almost daily things, which just sounds so amazing.
It kind of follows in with what's going on at US Rowing with the level 3 idea of going off and working with a mentor coach. I just was reached out to this morning by a woman who has passed her level 2 and is now working on her level 3 and wants to get coaching mentor hours. So yeah. I invited her down to Florida, and she'll sit in my launch and Jim Dietz's launch and learn as we go. And I think that's really what that CRI program is really all about. You can learn a lot about the theory of coaching in a classroom, but really it's getting into a coach boat, interacting mm-hmm. with people and different people. You know, some people want to be a master's coach, and some people want to be a junior's coach, and some people want to be a collegiate coach. Well, rowing is rowing at all different levels, but learning how to interact with different types of people and who have different goals and who have different motivation points is really what it's all about. So whether or not you get a chance to do the CRI program or just take the US Rowing level 2 and level 3 programs, which are highly intensive as well, but really go off and visit coaches. Pick a coach, call them up, make an appointment, and go stay with them for a week or so. And I think you'll really learn a lot. So that's what the United States needs much more of is a good level of coaching education, so that as we continue to grow programs all around the country, we have qualified coaches that can act in a safe way, but also in a progressive way that helps their rowers actually perform better.
Man, you are speaking my language. I'm a new coach, level 2, just a couple years ago, new program, and I'm always looking for resources that I can consume without having to take a week off of work. I mean, it would be great to have some really good development stuff online to do as well. I think you're right there on it.
Yeah. We'll talk more about coaching education, because that is something that we're all pretty passionate about. And sure. I think that's going to be another topic and certainly a couple of shows worth of coaching education for sure.
Agreed. So what are these other awesome things? Looks like equipment you want to talk
to us
about.
Yeah, so there's some new equipment coming out. Boats are always being redefined and new little accessories. We were just working with some Vespoli, the new VHP Vespoli singles down here in Florida at our camps, and they've got some really nice, real simple, but really nice modifications, things like very easily adjustable foot stretcher heights, adjustable seat heights, which makes it really much more of a custom fit to the rower in the singles. So not only do they have 4 singles hulls, but then also the ability to adjust them all. So things like that. Fluid Design is always coming up with new things. They just came out with their new Cox 4, which they're really excited about, and I'm sure we'll talk more in depth with that as we get into our boat builder series. Felipe is always working with new things, and so it's great. And then Concept 2 also has just come out with a new different blade, and it's a little different blade shape and composite. It's a different make on it. So that'll be fun to see. I have not rode with that yet or seen that in actual physical form yet, but I think that's going to be really exciting too. So lots of things coming up in the equipment side, which we're excited to share with people. It's always kind of worth mentioning, you know, whether or not you want to jump into something brand new, or if you want to see it row for a year or two. Sometimes it's better to not be the first adapter or the early adapter. Sometimes it's good to wait for things to go for a season, because the companies get feedback. We're giving Vespoli some feedback on the riggers, and I hope that they kind of listen to that. And it's been, you know, and that's what happens. You know, you kind of get boats out or blades out or other sorts of electronics out in the country, and you should give the feedback to the manufacturers, because that's how they get their product testing done. So it's exciting.
Definitely. And I see you pulled the Craftsbury internships and some international camp news, huh?
There's also things going on there. Craftsbury is always looking for qualified coaches to work with their summer programs and summer camps. And again, the various different levels of people will be up there coaching because they have various abilities of rowers coming. So they want to make sure they match their coaches with their participants up there. So, and it's great. So lots of new coaching, and that's a great way to learn and hone your skill. Your coaching is to work at a camp or even mentor at a camp or kind of work behind the scenes at a camp. And cause then obviously there's lots of different people. It's not just working with one set of athletes for a season. You're seeing lots of different people on an ongoing basis. So that's exciting and a fun way to learn a lot.
And the internships are not just for coaches. I mean, there's one for like juniors and collegiate rowers. One of my rowers is applying for it, and it's, you know, as a new program and a new rower, I told her, man, that would just be so amazing for you to be around all of that for a couple weeks. Just great opportunities for lots of different folks.
Sure. And if anybody wants to go to Portugal, the gentleman that owns this Portugal camp over there, he's looking for college students to come over and work for him, not just, you know, go and row, but actually go. So if you have any interest in like hotel and restaurant management or resort management, and you want to get an international experience in a rowing venue, just message me, let me know, and I will set you up with that. But he is actively looking for highly qualified people who know a little bit about rowing, but really want to work in the industry. And he's a great guy. So be happy to help any college, you know, really probably a college student looking for a summer program or a summer job. What could be better than living in Portugal? And you don't have to speak Portuguese, because the whole staff speaks English. So,
man, I'm feeling old today. I had to hop on that a decade ago. So, well, that's about the news for this week. I think we did a pretty good job of picking up a lot of cool stuff for you guys. Like Charlotte mentioned, we're going to do some rowing club spotlights. We've got a couple different levels of clubs that we're going to talk about. I am going to be super selfish and discuss my club first, and then we are going to hear from Sandra, who's just been patiently waiting, and Mark. So let's go ahead and get started talking about some clubs. We all have these different backgrounds, I think, what brought us to rowing. I moved from the Atlanta area about an hour south, and I teach high school. I teach in a primarily low-income school, high minority, low income. My kids had no idea what rowing was. And, you know, you show them here's what I do for fun, and they're all like, you're crazy. But I have a really amazing principal, and I said, hey, I want to do this thing. And he was behind it. We're actually the only public school program in the whole state. There's a couple of juniors clubs around the state, but, you know, you got to pay for that, and it's a club. Ours is 100% free. We do fundraising as much as we can. We connected to the rowing community around us and got some really old boats, but they row, and they're pretty hard to ruin. So we go out and row on old boats. We have a reservoir nearby that we got connected to, and it is, I think, 4,000 meters in length, and it's private. Like, it's a learning venue for the county, and so we just have access to this beautiful quiet water all the time. We do not have a dock, so So we wet launch everything. My kids are getting really baptized. And it's just our first year. We had an eight, a boys eight and a girls four. And we had a single sculler last year compete in head races. So for a tiny little club on a dot on a map, we're having a good time. And so that's Hampton High School crew. And you can find us all over social media.
Congratulations. I think that's fantastic. I was, I started a couple of clubs in my day as well. And my wife has warned me, don't do it again. So but I'm glad there's people like you, Shannon, out there doing it because I want to stay married. So congratulations. Well done. Good job.
Thank you. My husband's been fantastic. I can't, you know, we talk about all the work we put into these things, but man, spouses go through every bit of it with us. And sure. Probably don't get half the joy that we get out of it. So got a good husband. So let's move on and let's talk. I'm not following on. Let's talk about what happens if your club gets evicted. Sandra, is this your story?
Yes. We're not evicted quite yet. I am actually in Cape Coral. We have a little rowing club in Cape Coral, Cape Coral Rowing Club. And we row on a canal system. So our water is also, it's nice and flat and beautiful, and it's a 365 days a year situation, right? We're not depending on, you know, living or dying by river current and all that kind of stuff. So we've been in the location we currently occupy for about 13 years, but it was basically because we had a benefactor, a guy who was a developer in the area, developed a really nice spot right by a marina and a harbor. And he absolutely loved us and gave us a gorgeous piece of land, but we don't have any kind of like lease on the land, and it's since been sold. So the new developers have been fabulous in allowing us to stay until we can work something out with the city of Cape Coral to move to a different location. So for the last year, I've been trying to get with the city to relocate into a park. And the park area is going to be a brand new built park. So we have a lot of opportunity, you know, to put in docks, to set ourselves up for para and adaptive programs, which we can't do right now. So it's a great opportunity, but we're getting a ton of pushback by a very small but extremely vocal group of local residents. So it's kind of been a bit of a battle, but we're forging through it. I think the city understands and embraces the value that we bring to the community and the youth. So I'm hoping that, you know, we can just move forward. Right now we're sort of in this holding pattern where we're listening to a lot of screaming, but we're hoping that the city stops giving ear to that.
I think you're probably not alone in that. I used to row at the Atlanta Club, and it's on this pristine piece of the Chattahoochee River, as pristine as the Chattahoochee gets. Mm-hmm. And the city's redeveloping the park near it. And so there's all these questions about, well, what kind of access are we going to have? So I think that's a real issue, is people are starting to get more and more into nature to escape everyday life. So
yeah. Both of you are 100% correct. I mean, I think what's happening all around the country and probably around the world, is, but more so here in the United States, is that people and cities themselves are really finding their waterways in their cities to be more of a resource than they ever have been in the past, or in the recent past anyway. And I think a lot of these places all over are seeing the value of the property that has been probably neglected a little bit or set aside a little bit, and rowers tend to go where it's inexpensive. So I was reading up on the history of the Tampa Rowing Club here this morning, and we had a couple of gentlemen from the Tampa Club at our camp a couple of weeks ago, and they said, you know, they gave us a sad story. And it's like they're being evicted very quickly without the year of notice, and literally a couple of weeks of notice, and they were said that they had to move all of their boats out, and you know, good luck, and which is really unfortunate in that situation, because way back when, the Tampa Rowing Club actually was built the boathouse that they're currently being evicted from. It's pretty amazing situation, but similar to what Sandra said, there was no formalized lease. They knew that it was probably going to happen at some time. So they had kept up the relationships of other property owners along the river. And that's what allowed them to basically, you know, somewhat seamlessly move from one place to another. But they'll probably lose some members. It'll be a little different location. It won't be right on the pretty University of Tampa property anymore. And that happens. Station L and Rose City Rowing Club out in Portland, Oregon had the similar issue this past summer. They were forced to move after being in their property, similar time frame as Sandra said. You know, I think it's been 10, 12 years at least, if not more, out of a beautiful building where they had showers and they had there was actually a coffee house right in the building on the retail side of things. And they overlooked the parking lot, had a little walk down to the river. And then the new owner of the building said, no, we're going to put other business in and you guys are going to have to move. And it was, you know, it was pretty much a, okay, got to move, you know, wasn't negotiating kind of thing. And so they were able to find another piece of property up the river actually. But it's a big process. And I think everybody kind of needs to have that idea of making sure that, you're keeping those relationships around and looking for relationships on your waterway that gives you kind of an out if need be. And it happens. The Gorge Rowing Club up in Victoria, British Columbia, out on Victoria Island, they had the same thing happen. It was a beautiful retail site. They had the basement of this retail property, and all of a sudden, they're not there anymore. The property owner felt like they were being undercharged and wanted to put somebody else in, and mm-hmm. the club really couldn't come up with more money and were forced to leave. So it happens all over. And so I think, you know, our message to people is, you know, make sure that you kind of, if you don't have a lease or if you don't own your building, be aware and be kind of thinking about how you could create a long-term situation or be always keeping your relationships with neighbors. So
those relationships will go very, very far. They're more important, I think, than people kind of realize.
Yeah.
Especially in rowing.
I agree 100%.
Well, sending you so much good vibes and good luck with everything, and let us know how it turns out, Sandra. Thank you for coming on today.
Thank you.
All right. So as usual, guys, we are going to ask for you to send us stories about your club like we do every week. We have a rowing club news form if you want to send that in. It's on our website. And we also are always looking for suggestions for gadgets and gear to help with rowing. Mark, you got any new gadgets or gear you're playing with right now?
Nope. No. Not right now. We're trying to teach people how to row. We're just trying to teach people how to row better.
That works. I found one over the holidays that I've given a shot to, and then now that I'm back at work, I have no time for it. But it's pretty fun for erging at home. But if our listeners have anything, what are you going to say?
is it the little phone holder?
No, it's actually an app, RowForge. It's kind of like, I don't want to have to make up my own workout. Just tell me what to do, which is mostly just 5Ks all the time, but it's still good for right now. It gives me something to do without having to plan my own workout. So I'm liking it so far. And producer Charlotte is back. Charlotte, what wonderful things do you need to talk to us about today?
Well, when I was down at Mark's All American Rowing Camp, I did notice that span gauge you demoed for us, right? And we've mentioned that before.
Yeah, we'll bring that out. We'll bring that out. We'll do a little demo.
We'll trot it out again. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, every time I see that demoed or in real life, I understand a little bit more about span and all that stuff. But anyway, yeah. So we really appreciate our sponsors, the Rowing Tales and Pregel Rowing Camps. From this year, and they're currently sponsoring us and enabling us to be on the air, broadcast, internet. Shannon, you've mentioned your class bell is ringing, but
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. You mentioned the hashtag. If you use it on social media, we'd like to really get this rolling so that we know that people are out there listening and interacting, and you can also win some really cool stuff. I know Mark has given Mark has given a day of rowing camp as a that's huge. That's like
that's
mind-boggling. Valuable. Today we have the Fulham Boat Club vest that we're giving away, and so I'll let you wind us out here with the crew sponsorships.
Shannon. Okay, and you just heard from producer Charlotte. She is with Pierce Press. She publishes books and does book shepherding for indie authors. She is a board member and regional coordinator for Independent Publishers of New England, and a new children's book about 10 famous classic authors is coming soon. Is that right, Charlotte?
Yes, ma'am. It's really exciting. It's got a diverse range of famous authors, so it's not just the usual suspects.
Very cool. And you're always seeking manuscripts and innovative and alternate education, correct?
That's correct.
So reach out to Charlotte if you want to get published. And then I'm at a school always. That's us. You heard our story today, and we have fabulous Mark Wilson. And Mark does everything. Runs All American Rowing Camp, and you're rep for AccuDoc, correct?
Absolutely. Working on. So if you have a club that needs a doc, let me know. We're working with lots of clubs all around the country, so it's great.
Very cool.
You might need one, Shannon.
Listen, I do. I need a lot of stuff.
Shannon, do you want to tell a little bit about our Black History Month and some of the stuff coming up?
Yes, so we're very excited. We're going to do some Black History Month spotlights next month. We are so far, I'm pretty excited to be talking to Maurice Scott. If you guys do not know this amazing young man, he's up at Potomac now, but he, I think, made most of his name known in Philadelphia. He's just a super guy. I'm very excited to talk to him. And we've got some other folks we are lining up to chat with. Just really want to help celebrate diversity for Black History Month and what it looks like in rowing.
Cool. And we got more club news, so send in your clubs. We've got more gadgets. And we're lining up some people from U.S. Rowing and elsewhere to kind of preview the Olympic excitement in rowing for the summer in Tokyo. And Pride Month. Pride Month is June, right?
June. We got plenty of time to plan those.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for coming along. And Sandra, best of luck in Tampa there.
Thank you.
You want to close us out here, Shannon?
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Yay.